Chris McGreal is in Benghazi. Chris, what's the latest on the capture of these four journalists?
Well, they've been missing now for 4 days. They were taken near the town of Brega, which is essentially the front line between the rebels and government forces in the east of the country. The circumstances aren't entirely clear, but according to some of the rebels who saw what happened, the four of them were a little bit back from the front line when some of Gaddafi's forces came out of the desert, held them at gunpoint, let their driver go, but destroyed their vehicle, and then took the four of them away. Now, one of them is a reporter, James Foley, with the Global Post. There are two others, two photographers, a Spanish photographer and a South African, and then there's another American who's a freelance journalist who is relatively young and a new journalist, has done some work for the Global Post, but has worked in other parts of the Middle East as well.
And have we seen this kind of tactics by the regime before?
Well, in terms of the tactics of actually snatching them, it's a bit of a first. Other journalists have been caught in different circumstances. The New York Times journalists who were taken near Ashdabia were stopped at a roadblock, a checkpoint. That happened to some other photographers elsewhere in the region. This is unusual in terms of taking reporters. However, the Gaddafi's forces have been using these tactics against the rebels to try and ambush. In fact, there was an Al Jazeera group of journalists who were shot at in similar circumstances, and the rebels themselves have been attacked in these circumstances. But it's rather unusual for the reporters to have been taken like this.
Is there a nervousness among the press corps that this could be a tactic that will be used in future?
Well, indeed, there's certainly an awareness now that the assumption had been that if you weren't immediately on the front line, which you know is frequently mortared and shelled, then there was obviously a relatively safe. That clearly, if these circumstances are as were relayed, that's no longer true. Although I think that there probably be safety in numbers. It seems that they were on their own. Or at least a bit distant from some of the rebels when they were taken. If you were in a fairly large group, that wouldn't happen. And obviously the question now is what's happened to them and where they are. It's been 4 days previously when reporters have been arrested by Gaddafi forces, such as the New York Times journalists. It took 3 or 4 days for them to pop up in Tripoli. And it's those 3 or 4 days that are crucial. The New York Times journalists related quite considerable physical and mental abuse and even threats to their lives. Perhaps these reporters can take some comfort from the fact that their driver was unharmed and let go, whereas the driver for the New York Times was apparently shot dead. And different reporters have had different experiences, but either way, I'm sure it's not at all pleasant.
Now, also, there's been this claim that NATO has killed a number of rebels in an attack. Is the picture any clearer on exactly what happened?
No, it's not. The rebels on the ground say it was an airstrike, that four missiles came in, hit tanks, the tanks that have been deployed to the front for the first time. Now, these are tanks seized from Gaddafi, so from the air they would probably be indistinguishable, and the communication has been quite bad between the rebels on the ground and NATO, so it's quite possible that the pilot was simply unaware that the rebels had tanks or that they moved them up to the front, so his assumption would have been that this was Gaddafi's armor. However, late yesterday the rebel leadership tried to claim that perhaps this was the result of an attack by Gaddafi's air force, that he brought in some kind of small plane. That seemed unlikely, partly because of the no-fly zone, but also it seemed that perhaps this was a way of assuaging growing anger towards NATO over a number of things, particularly the sense in rebel-held areas that NATO is not carrying out as many airstrikes as it should, that it's not fulfilling what the rebels see as a mandate to destroy Gaddafi's forces. not simply protect civilians. Certainly the mood here is quite anti-NATO at the moment, and after yesterday's strike, it's not merely seen as an accident by many people. Some people are starting to see some kind of conspiracy. So the rebel leadership's quite concerned that at the idea that NATO becomes isolated and becomes criticized because they're relying on it very heavily as part of their military strategy.
Turkey has put forward this peace plan. How's that going down among the rebels?
Well, there are elements of it which the rebels will welcome. They previously said themselves that they would agree to a ceasefire if Gaddafi got his forces out of the cities, which is an element of the Turkish peace plan. And the rebels want not only the Gaddafi's forces out of the cities, but they want free political activity, which means they want to be able to organize popular uprisings. I think the problem the rebels will have on this is that it doesn't require immediate departure of Gaddafi and his family from power. The Turkish peace plan talks about transition, a negotiated transition to democracy. We know how long that can take. In Egypt, which had its own revolution, it's taking many months, 6 to 9 months. And that was after Mubarak departed. I think there's a real concern amongst the rebels here at the idea of Gaddafi hanging on for any length of time at all. So that will be an important point of departure with the Turks.
Okay, Chris. Keep us posted. Thanks a lot.
Pleasure.